Hi, friend. This is Jamie Elizabeth, and you are listening to She Speaks Life podcast. Inside every episode is an invitation to recognize God's goodness and faithfulness through stories and life experiences, and encourages us to know that God cares about the details of our lives, and we are not alone in what we go through. Together, we can speak life to share that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. So join me, and let's get to know our next guest. Hi, friend. Welcome back to She Speaks Life. I'm so excited for Blythe Daniel and her mom, Dr. Helen McIntosh, to both be joining us today. This mother-daughter team have written several books, including the ones we will be chatting about called Mended and their newest release called I Love You, Mom. Together, we are going to discuss on how to honor our moms and celebrate her and the importance of becoming a mom who prays. Blythe and Dr. Helen, welcome. I'm so glad you are both here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, I'm really excited about this because this is only the second time I've had two guests on here. So I look at it as double the fun, double the encouragement in one story. And I am so glad you're here. Blythe, I know I met you a couple times at various conferences, and I would just love for you to share with our friend that's listening. Tell us who you are and what you do and where you're from.
Great. I'm so happy to join you today, Jamie. I think so highly of you and your ability to want to help women, to encourage moms. And so that really is my heart as well, is to, as a mom of three children, I can't really call them children anymore. They're one's a teenager and one's, and then the other two are almost teens. But my heart is to help just women to know that they matter and that their relationships matter and that there is a way to have healthy relationships. I've watched my mom navigate this in her life with her mom and in the way that she's navigated it with me. And I just, I do want young women and women my age, middle age, to just see how God has created us unique, but also to just be strong in Him, and where there's been hurt, to ask for restoration. And so I live in Colorado Springs, which is a big mecca of publishing and ministry. And my husband and I have been involved in ministry out here for almost 18 years. We've been married and involved in some sort of ministry since that time. But yeah, it's just extremely thankful to be on with you today and just to be able to have this time together. Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Helen, how about you share more about who you are?
Well, thank you. I want so much to encourage your listeners today. I did have a broken relationship with my mom growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, and some travels beyond that. But I live presently in Dalton, Georgia, and just have a great story to tell about how God has strengthened Blythe and I and taught us many, many things about relationships. And they have a lot to do with words. And I love that your ministry is called She Speaks Life. Mm-hmm. And I have been chewing on Proverbs 18:21 for months now. It's the verse, as you well know, about that words have the power to bring life or death. And so my story began with mother's hurtful words in my life. Her angry but difficult words just hurt me so much that I really did. I did not know God until I was 27, but I did pray as a young child anyway. And I asked Him to show me a different way, that if I ever had children, I wanted to learn how to speak well. Because words just matter, not only the words themselves, but the message that comes with it. So that's sort of a quick preview to what I love.
I love that. Yeah, it sure does. And obviously with the title of this podcast, She Speaks Life, I take it to heart and make it a priority in our life because it really is important. Okay, Blythe, I know we're going to be talking about your guys' books, and I really know that you can shed some light on the reality of a mother-daughter relationship doesn't always come in a perfect package. And I kind of wanted to set the stage here from your book, Mended, and it's called Mended, Restoring the Hearts of Mothers and Daughters. And I really thought this would be a great thing just to begin with as we're talking about mother and daughter relationships. And you had said, mothers and daughters are often linked in our culture in both positive and negative ways. When women think about who they are, it's possible they think about how they are similar to their mother or how they don't want to be like her at all. But no matter where your paths have taken you, there's a path you can both take to bring yourselves back to each other. Yes, now, not later, but now. The Bible has a lot to say about restoring relationships. We believe God's design is for families to pursue Him even when their families are messed up. And messed up they are. So I just wanted to lead into kind of setting that stage. What was it like growing up with your mom? And was there any kind of struggle that you can share with us that was kind of one of those that really made you feel like you need to overcome in a big way?
Yeah, those are great, great thoughts and great questions. And I think for me, watching my mom navigate the relationship with her mom, it certainly showed me that, you know, words mattered, and the way that we saw each other, the way that she talked to me, the way that her mom talked to her. And I grew up in a home where my mom really honored me by asking questions, asking powerful questions. And I think that that was so helpful for me. She never tried to like say, you should do this and you shouldn't think that. Like, cause she had been taught those things. She'd been said, those things had been said to her. So I would say that as I grew up, my independence took over. So by the time that, even though my mom and my dad offered such a loving environment, I began to just really want to do things in my own way. I began to, you know, kind of isolate that last year of high school and just kind of thought I knew best what was happening, and even making decisions going off to college. Ways that I would, you know, conduct my life, ways that I would manage money, ways that I would manage my weight, my self-image. And you know, it wasn't me figuring things out on my own and coming back to my parents with the struggles in my heart. It really was them reaching out to me and saying, we just want to talk to you about these things. What can we do to support you? And so even though I was resistant to some of that, initially, I think it was really seeing their heart for me wasn't to try to judge me or correct me. It was to offer any help that I thought that I might need from them. And they did. They did offer some help in those areas. I would just say that any struggles were probably more just me being resistant to that and not fully embracing what my parents could offer me, what my mom could offer me in those areas of my life. And then I would say later as a new mom, I felt like I knew best what was for my kids. And even if my mom had a word where she felt like, okay, maybe I should ask Blythe this question, maybe that would be helpful for Blythe, my taking it harshly or taking it the wrong way caused some friction in my relationship with mom and even with my husband. And so we talked about those things. Like, we took some time apart from mom and processed that as a husband and a wife, and then came back together with mom. And it was just being super honest and being able to say, I know that you said this and this is how we interpreted it. And then she could say, that wasn't how I meant it to come across. So, like, yeah, I think it was just honesty that's really helped in our relationship. And then me not being resistant to, or me understanding her heart. And then us being able to talk about it. If I didn't understand her heart, or if I thought that maybe it wasn't coming from a healthy place, then I could say, Mom, that just feels hurtful, or that feels hard to me right now. And ultimately, it was about how do we restore? How do we come back to a place where we truly feel like we're for each other and we support each other?
So good. You know, open communication, it's so key. I mean, there's so many arguments and strife that could be prevented if we just shared, like you're saying, oh, well, this is how I felt. And then the other person going, well, I didn't mean it that way, you know, and then it clears the air. So sounds healthy. It sounds like you had a healthy upbringing there. Okay, Helen, how about you? What was it like raising your daughter, Blythe?
Oh, I tell you, what a pleasure. She really was, to a fault. I made up a word when we wrote Mended, and it's called overlove. That was the deep hole I fell in. It was a form of codependency, so I'm not raving about it. It was not a good thing. But because my relationship with my mother was so difficult and my relationship with Blythe was so glorious, mm-hmm. I just adored that child. And but when it came time for her to go to college, boy, I realized what trouble I was in. I realized that I had absolutely overloved and had to self-correct. But I would say that we have both learned that real relationship killers are control and criticism. And so, again, words just mean so much. And I have worked hard to not, because even overlove can be a control. And I knew that I did not want that in our relationship. So I did say, Blythe, when you sense any control on my part or anything that's not quite right that would block our communication or our relationship, would you please let me know? And blessedly, she never did holler. So I'm assuming that it never happened, but I became super aware of what were the real minds that needed to be not stepped on. So I am really very aggressive when I talk to other children or mothers about their relationship. I want so much to encourage them to not be controlling or critical. One of the things I have loved teaching mothers is to say, if they are tempted to give feedback, or some would call it criticism, but we're just calling it feedback. But if they want to give feedback, that they ask themselves in other words, they would say, may I share some thoughts that I have and get permission. That is really a big help, a huge, huge, big help. That's one thought that we can pass along.
That's so good. I'm marking that one down because, you know, my son just got married. He's 21. They're still in college. Last week they got married. So these are good little notes to take down for my new daughter-in-law as well. So thank you for that. So good. Okay. So let's talk about your book, I Love You, Mom. I love this devotional type outline on giving affirmations and just letting moms know that they're doing a job well done. And you guys covered every topic. And I definitely highlighted some of the ones that I absolutely love that I'll share a little later there. But it's so beautiful and it makes such a great gift for moms, mother-in-laws, and daughters, and anybody. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you feel like in this society, in our culture, that moms are missing out on those affirmations? Because I know when we are just doing the day in and day out, we're exhausted, we're tired. You know, I remember when mine were little and now I have teenagers, but, you know, it's still just doing the same thing over and over again every day. And it's exhausting. And you're like, oh my goodness, does anyone see me? I am just like so flat out done. So do you feel like this is missing in this world today?
I really do. And I think mom agrees as well. You know, just what you just said, Jamie, is so true because sometimes husbands don't give words of affirmation the way that we would want them to. And that can feel disappointing. Mm-hmm. Like, do they notice everything that I'm doing? They're not saying anything. Or, you know, maybe we just want our kids to say thank you every once in a while and they don't. So there can be disappointment that we aren't being recognized. And we kind of trudge through and we just kind of maybe say, well, that's just the way it is, and I'll still keep going. But deep down, we want someone to recognize the hard work that it takes as a mom. And so really, that's kind of what led to this book, I Love You, Mom, Cherished Word Gifts from My Heart to Yours, is because we just wanted to be a mom and a daughter that would say, hey, we see you, we see the work you're doing, and God's words affirm you as a mom from Scripture, mm-hmm. and we mm-hmm. want to share stories with you that would affirm you, and we want to offer you a word gift that that you can take and put in your pocket and know that you are a treasure, you are faithful, you are confident, mm-hmm. like you have these qualities about you that God has put in you. And if you don't hear it from anybody else, hear it from God. Let us be women mm-hmm. that can just point you to His words for you. And so that really was our hope, that women would feel encouraged. You know, I do feel like that there are a lot of different accolades that people get, but there are not a lot of accolades that say, great job as a mom. You know, yeah. mostly people will focus on the kids' achievements, but not so much for moms.
So true. And I love this too, because as I was combing through, I was reading each of the devotion, I saw that, you know, this is good for women that aren't good with communicating those words of affirmation. So I thought of this as, what a great thing to get for your mom, to just be able to have it written in a book, just how much they mean to her. And mm-hmm. so I just kind of thought of that, because not everybody is good at, you know, sharing their heart and being transparent and vocal about how much they appreciate their mom. And you have just provided something that they can give to their mom and have it there as a written record for forever. So how about you, Helen? Well, do you have any thoughts on that?
The mothers my age, are the chickens are out of the nest, shall we say. But they are looking for something important to do, I believe. There's so much darkness in this world right now. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many friends who just long to let their light shine in special ways. And so Blythe and I have called this little mission of ours a legacy of love, meaning that we would like to encourage women of all ages to minister to those down below or ahead of them generationally. And Isaiah 58:12 has been so important to Blythe and I as we wrote these two books, because it talks about being repairs of the breach. And there are so many breaches in marriages and families and homes today, relationships. Oh my gosh, they're so broken. And I just am wanting to send out a call. If I could play a bugle, I would. But just a call to women to rise up. And it does say in Isaiah 58:12, right before it talks about being repairs of the breach, it says, and they will come from among us. I just saw that anew just a few weeks ago, and I said, Blythe, that's you and your children. So yeah. There's so many verses, especially Isaiah, the end of Isaiah, of like 58, 59, 60, a lot in there about the generations, that it's really throughout the Bible, but there's compelling reason in our culture today for us to get going and be repairs of the breach. And one of the main ways is our words, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Okay. I had it written down somewhere, but what were the three words that you taught Blythe as a little girl? It was rebuild, restore. And there was another R that you wrote in your book, Mended.
Restore, rebuild, repair. I think those are the three R's. And they work together so well. Because it's hard to have restoration until you've rebuilt the walls between you. We talk a little bit about, and it's clear in Isaiah that walls were built to fortify a city, which was helpful, But walls between us and our relationships are not helpful. And so even as a mom, I'm constantly looking for ways for me to tear down the walls that I've put up so that it makes it hard for my kids to come to me. One might be busyness. So I put a wall around myself of I'm too busy right now for you to come to me. There's just various examples of that. And my job as a mom, I feel like, is to help tear down those walls so that my kids, so that nothing complicates their being able to reach me. And then if they have walls that I'm seeing in their lives around something, is to ask them about that. You know, maybe I might say, hey, you know, where do you feel like it's hard for you to let someone in right now? Or maybe where is it hard for you to talk about something with me? And is there anything that I've done that's put up a wall so that it is hard for you? But I just am aware of that. It's easy to put up walls, and it's easy for people to not want to communicate with you when that happens.
For sure. Yeah. You kind of get closed off, right? It's not inviting to open up, and totally agree. Okay. I'm going to share my favorite topics out of the book, I Love You, Mom. And then you guys can share what your favorites are. And it's going to be probably all unique, because that's the way God speaks to us, is so unique. So I'm pulling out ones that are important to me in this season of life. And because I just had a son that got married, I loved in the very beginning holding treasure close and how you need to let go, but that you'll always hold the treasure in your heart. You said sometimes as mothers, we get caught up in the chase and don't think about the lives we are helping to mold. We often feel we can't hold our child close enough or long enough. Maybe like Mary, you have thought about how you can hold on to the treasure of time and not release your child to the world just yet. You want to know that the one you are raising is close by. And, you know, that just hit home right there, because I just sent my son off to be a husband there. And I'm sure we all have those moments, like you had, Helen, having Blythe go off to college. And then the other one was like the do-over. I think that's so important for moms to know that we can come to our kids and take out that pride and get humble and apologize and say, I am so sorry. I am so wrong. I've done that lots of times, more times than I can count, of going to my kids and going, what I did was not right. Please, you know, forgive me. And kind of bouncing around, you guys do have a really good chapter here in your book, Mended, that Helen, you wrote about forgiveness. And it's the first step in making the healing happen is just by saying sorry. And, you know, I highlighted half of the page there in that section. So I'm not going to go and read it right now, but I highly recommend it to our friend who's listening. It is so good. And the other one, let's see, is what we were just talking about, Tree of Life Giving Words, and how much of an impact our words have on our kids, and the kindness releases, you said, honesty, empathy, and care. Giving your loved one this gift brings them back to you when they need you most. What thoughtfulness do you want to deliver today? Which is so great and gives you room to kind of jot that down and reflect. So what are your guys' favorites out of this book?
Well, I'll start with one that I really felt like when we wrote it, and it's still applicable today, is the one in I Love You, Mom called God With You. And and the verse does come from Isaiah, which Mom was mentioning earlier. This is Isaiah 41:10. But the word gift that is attached with this, so at the end of every devotional, there is a word gift. And so this one is called You Are Fearless. And I love that the story of Naomi and Ruth taught us to not be fearful. I mean, they could have been, in their culture for sure, two widowed women basically had not much. And so the way that God provided for them, and I love that, you know, it just shows us that, that no matter where we are, we don't have to have any fear is a part of our journey. And it's just a really good reminder to not fear the future, but to trust God's plan. Because fear could have crept into their relationship, which would have messed up their relationship, but also just, you know, on the road that they would walk together. And they didn't have to look anxiously into the future. God showed them and established their steps. So I think in our culture where fear can quickly escalate for either parents or children, I think it's just a good reminder. The thing that we said in this word gift is that, Mom, we both face challenges, but we can remind each other to be brave. We can choose to be full of faith in our days ahead rather than fearful. So that one is one that I really found myself reading a number of times, even after we've, you know, turned it into the publisher, just reminding myself of fearlessness.
Yeah, Jesus spoke that over and over again. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because he knew we needed it. Yeah.
It's true.
How about you, Helen?
Well, I was just thinking back to how powerful words are. I mean, God spoke the world into existence by words, so they are so powerful, aren't they? And then switching subjects now, I'll answer your question. My favorite two are life with no regrets. That is such an important, important life principle. And then I love the last of the 25 devotionals, and it's called Blessing. I think just for women my age, that the blessing is such an important concept for them to activate and pass along, as well as encourage the ones behind her to live a life of no regrets. That you just don't. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 6:13. It says, having done all, to stand. And that's all we can do, but we can, if there's something that we need to do it and then take a stand so that we don't have any regrets. I think those are very important life principles. And so I hope the devotionals will encourage them to move forward in those two ways.
I love that. You mentioned Blythe in your intro in the book Mended, about the special bond between a mom and daughter, and that the most beautiful and the most volatile relationships are often between a mother and daughter. Why is the mother-child relationship so foundational?
You know, it really starts in the womb, how the child receives nutrients, but also a sense of self and a sense of life from being connected to their mom in the womb. And it carries on till after birth. There's an automatic connection that is hardwired into us by God, I do believe. And many women, you know, grow up with daughters that look like them and talk like them and act like them. And so we don't even realize sometimes the power of how closely connected we are to a mom. And because of that closeness, if there's any break in the relationship, if there's hurt and disappointment or lack of love, then it can reflect on the daughter, and it can make, you know, the daughter even to see the mom in a different light or not want to have anything to do with their mom. So there is a sense of identity that comes. And I think for people that have had a difficult relationship with their mom and may not feel like it can ever be repaired, we want to first go to God and just say, God, I know that you created me, and I know that you created her for me, that is the mom that I was to have. And so first just recognizing how you feel and to being honest with God about it and asking him to forgive you. If there's any part in you that has held a grudge or has contributed towards the relationship in a negative way, is to get that cleansing and get that forgiveness from God first, and then go to your mom or your daughter and just say, God has shown me that I have had these thoughts that I need to clear up with you, or I need to ask your forgiveness for such and such. I want to take responsibility for my part in our lack of togetherness, or our discontent. And I ask you to forgive me for, and you can name the things that you sense are there. And then, you know, ask the person, what do you think we need to do to make things better between us? And I think that probably what we're saying the most in these books and resources is that the best way to have a relationship is to be humble, is to take on the things that you know that you can take on and say, I humbly come before you and ask for your forgiveness, or this is my desire, is to have a better relationship with you. How do we get there? And that would be the key, I feel like, with the way to restore, to receive God's restoration and then offer it, even if they haven't deserved it, even if they haven't asked for it. And so we even hope this book, I Love You, Mom, could be a tool to help relationships be restored, because it's simply offering words of life. You don't even have to say anything. You can give the book and just say, this is my heart for you. And we've seen women that have done that, that have been really grateful that they were able to extend love in this way and offer words to their mom or daughter that could speak their heart.
So good. Okay, how can we honor and celebrate our moms?
You know, back to words, I just love that we were able to put in the mended book over 36 conversation starters similar to what Blythe just shared. I think one way to celebrate is to be bold and fierce and go forward into delicate territory. But as you say, if you go in humbly and with love, it's going to just be great. Because what you're saying basically is, I long for a good relationship with you, a better relationship. And what do you think we need to do to make things better? It's so inviting. And so it's just time. It is time for those broken, ripped places in the relationship to be addressed.
Which leads us into, how can we become a mom who prays? I have a huge testimony on prayer, and now I am a prayer warrior, and I am always praying over my kids. And I had just talked about how important it is to even have your children pray over you, and giving them the opportunity to pray out loud and lay their hands on their moms. So it's not just you praying on your kids, but giving them the opportunity to pray over their moms or dads. So tell me, how can we become a mom who prays?
I think one of the things that has encouraged me is recognizing how significant prayer is, and that on the days that we aren't offering up prayers, the fallout from that. And I feel like I'm more submitted when I'm praying. And I also realize the power of prayer, because I feel like if we see how amazing God moves, not that he doesn't move when we don't pray, but there's a union between us when we are praying. And I feel like it's just so important for us to realize that our prayers really do matter. They do affect. And scripture is so clear about this, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so God tells us to pray. We know it's important. Sometimes we kind of skip out on it, but it is really just a conversation with God. And when we involve him in our day, and when we involve him in the things that matter to us, he is so delighted in that. And it solidifies our relationship with him. But it also just makes us feel like everything's covered. No matter if things go crazy, like, we know that we've been in prayer and God knows our hearts. And so we are prayed up, so to say, in the spirit. And I feel like it's just such a great posture for us to live. And as you said too, Jamie, just showing our kids how important it is for them to pray as well. It's a great role model for building future kingdom leaders. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I know. It just gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding, and it's such a gift. And I love that you said we first need to find the prayer is significant and the power of prayer, because that's where that was a lack of my understanding and knowledge. Didn't realize how much power there is in prayer. And then when I gained the knowledge through God's word and understood that prayer is essential, is like a priority in this life, there's so much power in it, then it was all over. So,
Helen, I just add to that too, but before mom goes, I would just say that we've seen healing, we've seen turn of events, we've seen things shift because of prayer. And so, I know that we participate with God when we pray, and you know, it's almost like when we pray, we are talking to God, and when we read his word, he's talking to us. And so it's a two-way communication street there.
Yeah, it sure is. It shifts the atmosphere. I love it. Helen, how about you?
Oh, I tell you, when I want a strong prayer, I call Blythe.
No.
I have all the passion in the world for prayer, but she really is gifted in it. Don't I, Blythe? I call you often and I'll say, awesome. Blythe, please pray for this. It's just something strong that God has really given her. But I believe in it wholeheartedly and just think that is just the most important thing we could do each day is to wrap ourselves in prayer and pray for others.
Yeah.
One thing that mom has done over the years, and she's too humble to share this, but her Bible is marked up full of prayers that she has prayed inside the margins of her Bible next to certain scriptures. And so she has incorporated the word with prayer. Like she'll pray a scripture over us. And I think that's a great idea for moms is if you don't even know what to pray, you can pray a scripture over yourself or over your children and write it in your Bible and put the date in there and be able to go back and look and see how God has answered those prayers. I think that's one thing that mom has taught me in her prayer life. And she's an amazing prayer warrior herself, but that's just something practical that we can do.
It sure is. That's why I journal like crazy, because it's a written record of your prayers being put down on paper and you can look back on that and see the faithfulness of God and his goodness in answering those prayers. And I know for my own story, I had this, I'd always tell people, oh, I'll pray for you. And one day the Lord's like, you forget. Like it was a conviction. Like I forget to pray for people. And he gently told me, just pray with them right then and right there. Like just no matter where you're at. And I remember a friend was going through something at the gym and that happened. I heard the Holy Spirit just pressed it on me to just pray for her right there and then. And so I just like said, I need to just pray for you right now. So we just prayed right then. And, you know, people are working out around us probably going, what in the world is going on? But I didn't care because you get to that point where the Lord's obedience and his voice outweighs anything else. Just had to put that out there, not to be afraid to pray right then and there if the Holy Spirit's really pressing it on you. I wanted to get to the point of when you guys talk about what does it mean for a mom to be a blessing giver? What is this? I heard you, Helen, say that earlier.
Yes. Well, I think scripture talks throughout about you're either going to give a blessing or a curse. I think blessing is the better answer, isn't it?
I think so.
So I love Numbers 6:24-26, where, you know, it says, may the Lord...
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I haven't memorized it yet, but
the official. It's beautiful. There's a song there too about it.
Oh, I love the song. I really do. It's just wonderful. And I just think it is so important. It's back to words. It's so important that we speak words of blessing to the generations, to one another, but to the generations below us. Mm-hmm. And it's just a choice that we make. To be for our words to bless and not to hurt.
That's right.
So we do have a choice every day, don't we? I guess it's in the Mended book. We put the example. It's a word picture of two cups bumping, and each cup represents us and our hearts. It's that Proverbs 4:23 about guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And so it's so true that what comes out of your cup is yours. You own it. And it is either blessing or cursing. And hopefully we're training ourselves to bless and not to curse. Yeah. So I think it's a choice. And then those that follow us will see the pattern, hopefully, and it will bless them. And they will duplicate that same blessing below them. That would be my hope.
So good. Okay, tell me some ways mothers can share her gifts and traditions with her children.
You know, one of the ways that we have shared some gifts and traditions is, you know, at different times of the year, repeating something that we've always done at that time of the year. and asking each other what would be special for you to do this Christmas or this summer, and letting the kids be a part of that decision, because they're going to own it a little bit more and they're going to remember it. And so one of the ways that we've tried to do this too is to create different opportunities for using different recipes that we have. And then my kids have written down those recipes and started their own collection. So we've passed along some of those opportunities. But I think that anytime we talk about, like, where do we celebrate, where do we pass down these traditions, it can be as normal as something that you do weekly, or something that you do around special holidays, things that mean a lot to you. And even while you're doing them, the conversations that can come up of, why is this so special to us? Why do we celebrate this? Why is this, you know, because it just cements into their minds why family is so important and why these special treasures and memories are so helpful to them as they grow up and one day will have a family of their own. But I would just encourage anybody, if there's something that you've been wanting to try as a family, but you just haven't done it yet, maybe it's because we fear failure. We feel like, I'm not going to be good at that. I'm not going to be good at painting or baking. Let's do it for the sake of our children to see that we're not afraid of trying new things and creating new traditions. Maybe it's never been done before in your family and you're going to start something that will be a tradition. So maybe some of the things that you've seen haven't been good in your family and you want to start something new. I just encourage you to do that.
So good. Those are lasting memories, those traditions. And even, you know, my own upbringing, but then when I see it in my kids, it's like, oh my goodness, don't ever change it or you'll hear it. You know, like, no, we usually do this. Like, they won't even let you change the you have to do the tradition. So my family's big on tradition, and to change it up and change it around, it doesn't fly with them. So
that's a real sense of identity, isn't it? This is who we are.
Yeah, so good. Okay, so I would love to end this episode, your guys' story, with a takeaway. And I thought this would be a good one just to lead us into is, you know, what encouragement do you may have for the mom, the woman that had a difficult relationship with her mom, and how can moms and their adult children see their relationship in a new, fresh way?
Well, I would say for encouragement, it's just that it's never too late to repair a relationship. There's always opportunity if we're willing to initiate it and take it. And I know women that have said, it's just so hard for me to even have a conversation with my mom or with my daughter because of these different situations or the way they've hurt me in the past. And we just want to encourage you to maybe even say, you know, I want to come to you and I want to have a conversation, and I would like for both of us to stay in it and to have this conversation without leaving the conversation today, that we can agree that we would finish this conversation. And then just start by sharing your heart, the things that you appreciate about your mom, the things that you see, or your daughter, the things that you see in their life that are positive qualities, and then get to some of the harder things that have happened between you currently. You don't have to go years and years back and dredge up everything, but just to maybe give it an overarching, here's where we are in my thought, this is where we are. And then how do we move past this? How do we have a relationship that endures? And I think that when that posture is there without a heated argument and just agreeing to come before each other, I think it can really breed a good relationship where you're able to start talking again. I know that when we put up those walls, as we were talking about, well, she shouldn't say that, and I said this because of that. It just becomes back and forth, and we aren't gonna see the healing if we're just always holding on to the words that other people have said. That's we right. need to be able to move past that and to be the one who's maybe more mature, even if the person's older than you, to show the spiritual maturity of forgiving and letting that go, not being a prisoner to the things that have held us back, but releasing that to God and releasing that person from you, the way that you've carried that person. And the bitterness or the hurt that you've carried, but releasing that and asking God for a freshness in your relationship. And how do you walk forward holy and healthy with that person in the future? I think it's entirely possible. Yeah.
So good. Helen, how about you?
Yeah, Blythe spoke well. She is a good representative of us. And just one additional thought, if it's uncomfortable for you to have this conversation in the flesh, you could do email or text or the old-fashioned letter. There's so many other ways of, did I say telephone? Anyway, there are many different ways, and whatever your level of comfort would be, go for it. Don't shrink back. Don't have a regret. I just encourage your listeners to take one small step and just humbly ask the mother or daughter in your life that you might have a difficulty with, you know, how do we begin again? Or would you like to begin again? What do you think we need to do to make things better? So those are just ways that you can make a fresh start, including the I Love You Mom book is a fresh start. It's a fresh wind of love that can pour over the maybe a tired relationship. And it's just never too late.
So good. And I need to include get the book Mended, because this is such a great resource on seeing Blythe's perspective and your perspective, Helen, and you know, you being a counselor in psychology and having that doctorate, it really shows just some healthy ways that we can rebuild and restore those broken relationships to begin mending them. So I highly recommend getting this book Mended and the devotional I Love You Mom. Now, where can everybody connect with you both?
So we both are on social media, on Facebook and Instagram under our names, Blythe Daniel, Helen McIntosh. We also have a website, and it's ourmendedhearts.com. So it's O-U-R, mendedhearts.com, with resources, both of these resources and some blog posts and things on there, some conversation starters, some images and things for you to look at. So we would love for people to join us there. And we just appreciate the opportunity to share about what God's put on our hearts, and we desire to connect with you. So feel free to reach out to us. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, what a great first step as well, is hopping on that to connect with you both. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your wisdom, insights, and all of the above. These are just such amazing resources that you guys wrote, and just the encouragement and the words of affirmation, and really understanding the power of our words and prayer and our relationship between a mother and daughter, and how God designed that so beautifully. And so how can we really live that out wonderfully here on earth with the Lord's help there? So thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure, Jamie. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. And hey, if you love this podcast and you listen to it on iTunes, add it to your library by hitting follow. And did you know that this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads like my ebook called God's ID, My ID, go on my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's jayme-elizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to Instagram. My handle is Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or I'm on Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.